section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, the Andrew Hughes, and I'm joined by my co-host, the Aaron P. Hughes. Let's start the show. We gotta talk about something right now. We just got confirmation that TNA is going to 1 hour earlier. Aaron, you want to speak on this?
Yeah, the news literally just broke right before we went on the air, and they said that they are moving to an hour earlier for their next live event. Now, according to sources within TNA, they say it's only a one-time thing, and then the following week they'll go back to their normal 9 to 11 spot. But the thing about it is, I kind of wonder if they're doing this as a test to see if they fare better, because their ratings recently haven't been that stellar. Now, you know, WWE's have fallen too. They actually fell quite a bit this week as opposed to last week. And so I'm kind of curious to see if this is kind of a test. Now, do you think that it'll work out better if they do go an hour earlier?
Oh yeah. I mean, by them going earlier, if they have something big going on, especially right at the beginning of the top of the hour, WWE has to plan for that. Because, you know, as everyone has noticed, if you're watching both shows, they are trying to do the quick thing where, like, oh, something big's happened here, but they have to go to commercial break. They're starting to do that a little bit in both shows, which is great. Because, you know, like we've always talked about, competition brings out the best in both parties. And I'm looking forward to this right now.
Yeah, I am too. So the other big thing was that WWE is now in talks with Bill Goldberg. Do you think that this would actually help out WWE?
Who cares? Goldberg was great. I mean, I remember when we were watching WCW, dude, back in like 90, gosh, December 97. And that's when Goldberg came out, but I think it was like 98 or 99 he came out, and he was like a nobody. Like, I'm like, who is this guy? And then he just kept winning and winning and winning and winning, and then all of a sudden, it was great. He finally got to the top of the point, and he won the world title, had it for 6 months, and then he went away. And that's the problem. I mean, he was great when he was there, but he has too much of an ego, and I think his ego will finally get the best of him because it's the WWE. They don't need him to come back, and he doesn't need to come back either. But
yeah, I don't think so. I don't even think he would really help out TNA that much, to be honest.
No, he's just a name. He is just a name, an old-time name. I mean, if he was to say, if he was to flat out say, I'm going to go on the road for the next 4 years – and make a ton of money and then call it, I would actually be like, okay, then that'll be worth it. But he's not going to. He's going to want to come in, win the belt right away, keep the belt, and not lose it. You know, that's just him. But whatever.
Now, speaking of TNA, they just had their pay-per-view Destination X.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think of it?
Well, it was great. I finally ordered a pay-per-view, watched it, enjoyed it completely. It was awesome. Legendary. Actually, in all seriousness, yeah, the pay-per-view was pretty good. I was impressed with it. I missed some of the match because I couldn't find the proper feeds, but I ended up watching the I was having trouble with my satellite dish and watched it. It was pretty good. I enjoy the matches. They're more entertaining now opposed to the WWEs that are basically, I think, the same match over and over again.
I definitely agree with you there. I think that the biggest thing and the reason why I kind of like TNA right now is that you are right. You know, you're seeing these new stars like Amazing Red or Kazarian.
I got to stop you right there, Aaron. Amazing Red has been around for a long time. All right, you can continue. Sorry, I had to do it.
But you're seeing these stars that most people haven't seen. Like, let's say you're a casual wrestling fan. You know, and this is your first time watching TNA. You're seeing this guy, Amazing Red, who does – he has some amazing ring work. He really does. And like I said last week on the podcast, Motor City Machine Guns, you know. You're seeing this team that is just really just really damn good, and I think that's the thing I like about it. The one thing I didn't like about it, though, was there was like 3 heel turns at Destination X. I mean, do you really need that many? Do you need 3 heel turns to happen?
Yeah, but I saw most of that, Aaron. I mean, I knew from the get-go the whole thing with the Wolf Pack coming back. I saw that. I didn't care for it. It was bound to happen, so there's a heel turn right there. And actually, dude, yeah, 2 turns right there. You have them becoming the heels, and then you have Eric Young going from a heel to a face.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 2 turns right there, which is stupid. And why do that program with Young? There's no reason that they should have even been in there. And here's what pissed me off the most about the pay-per-view, and I know we're skipping over some important stuff, but RVD wasn't on the pay-per-view. If you bring someone like RVD in, you need to put him on the pay-per-view. I don't care if you like realize that, oh, I didn't look at my booking properly. Who cares about the booking part? He should have been on the show. There should have been no talk about anything but, all right, what are we going to have Rob Van Dam do? He could have faced anybody, and it doesn't matter just so long as he won. He could have a squash match against someone, call it a day. I mean, I just watched Impact not that long ago, and I was impressed. I thought that was a great, with him and Hardy, like having those guys come out. I thought that was an excellent match, but like I said, I think TNA starting to do things wrong again. It just wouldn't surprise me. The opening of, anyways, but yeah, so Destination X, I mean, I like the ending. The ending was okay. I am not happy about the guy through the ring. I think that was a little overdone.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, seriously, what was the point? What was the point of him going through the ring?
It didn't do much.
And also, why did they put the chalk around Young afterwards? And the pay-per-view is not even halfway over. And that was ridiculous. They did not need to do that. And then people have to wrestle on that.
You know, what was funny, though, something that I mentioned to you because I think you walked away, was the chant after that happened. People were chanting, this is awesome 20 years ago.
That is good, dude. This is awesome 20 years ago, which is true. Yeah. I mean, even though I will say that Sean Waltman still looks pretty good in the ring. I can't say anything bad about him.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised. He's actually the only one that looks decent, you know?
Yeah, and that's the cool part, because you would think that he wouldn't be, because he's the high flyer technically, but he looked good. I gotta say, of the three, which is the obvious, he was the best one. But even some of the other older guys, I mean, when they come back in like that, I was impressed. I was actually impressed on his ring work. He has not lost anything yet. Yet. I mean, for the some people that saw his thing, you know, of course. But anyways, what I thought about the pay-per-view, if I had to give it a grade right now, I think it should be at least a B-. At least.
Yeah, I would say at least a B. I mean, it was a good, solid effort. I do think that there's improvement, though. So.
Oh, yeah.
But moving on to Raw, you know, the biggest story, you know, new Money in the Bank ladder match, new participant with Kofi Kingston, who I think will be a good addition. The thing is, though, do we need 10 men in the Money in the Bank ladder match?
Well, yes and no. I think that the more people you have in it, the better the bumps are going to be. But I also know from experience on how they screw things up all the time. So the 10 people in there, sorry, I don't know why I had to yawn. Anyways, with 10 people in there, someone's gonna get hurt really bad because there's gonna be so much stuff going on. Realistically, I think that I could have done with 6. Really, just have 6 people in there. But you know, 10, fine, we'll have 10.
Well, I think something that needs to be known is the way that a ladder match works, especially with multiple people. If you have 6 people in a ladder match, you only have 2 people in the ring at a time, and then the other people are on outside, like hurt, quote unquote. And then the 2 people, they do a big bump, and then 2 more people get in the ring while those 2 people go out, and then they do a big bump, and then the last 2 people go in. And they just – it's a cycle. That's the way that a ladder match works. I mean, plain and simple. That's how it is with wrestling. With 10 people, people are going to get a lot of rest. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's not really a good thing, because you're going to see Shelton Benjamin for 20 seconds, and then he's going to be gone. You know, and then you're going to see Evan Bourne for 20 seconds, and then he's going to be gone for 5 minutes, you know? So it's just, I really think that 10 people is two or four too many, to be honest. So, but you know, one of the people in the ladder, the Money in the Bank ladder match, is Jack Swagger. Now, one of the things I was kind of wondering is they've kind of been pushing him a little bit. Do you think he's ready to go to be an upper mid carder or a main eventer?
Not a main eventer, upper mid card I could see, but I think for now he could be the upper mid card, but I don't see him staying there. I think he's going to be a mid card for the rest of his life. He just doesn't have something. He's actually missing something, and I can't figure it out yet. But some wrestlers have it. I don't think he does. I don't know if it's his look or what it is, but I mean, his entrance is awesome. They made it a little bit better having the pyro, which is kind of cool. But I don't know, something about his in the in ring a bit, like his work inside of the ring, it just does not do it for me anymore. At first, it was kind of like, oh, he's doing something, and now it's got to the point where it's like, he ain't doing anything. But the one thing I want to talk about Raw, I did not like the ending.
The 15 minutes of Batista and Cena whining?
I could care less. I really could. I mean, I could give two craps about that. I don't want to crap you, but, like, dude, seriously, it was bad. I sat there, was like, I can't believe I'm watching this, and I started fast forwarding, and I knew what they were saying. And it's funny because, you know, my wife is sitting there watching it, and she's like, why are you watching this if you know what they're going to say? I'm like, well, because I might be wrong. I haven't been yet, but still, I don't know. Well, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's a bad way to end it. I think that the better way to end it, while obviously Cena Batista is the main event for WrestleMania, you know, I think rather ended it with Bret Hart and McMahon, to be honest, because that's kind of the marquee match at the pay-per-view. So I don't know. I mean, or they could have had a match, you know, I mean, what about novel idea here? What about Batista and Jericho, the two world heavyweight champions, taking on Edge and John Cena? What about doing something like that? You know, how hard is that? Even if it ends in a double DQ or a count out or something dumb, have a big match like that, you know?
Well, that's a smart thing, though, Aaron. That's the problem. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that you're like, what is this? What's the purpose of this match? Like, okay, in all seriousness, we didn't talk about it, but I have to talk about it now. The stupid Divas tag match where Gail Kim did all the work.
Yeah.
What was the point of that? I'm sitting there talking to my wife, and I'm like, this did nothing. This match should have never freaking happened. It was ridiculous.
Well, I agree with you there, and the thing is, WWE does not have women wrestling, and that's something that we will talk about, you know, as a topic, a weekly topic. So. Not this week, but we will do it some other week.
Yeah, so, I mean, anyways, like, so for final grade for Raw, in all seriousness, a final grade for Raw, I'm going to have to give it. Going into WrestleMania, that should have been a B+, A- show, if not an A+. This is basically, I'm going to have to give it a solid D+.
Yeah, I was going to say C- for that, because it was definitely below average. But, yeah, I agree with you. Lead into WrestleMania, weak show. Now, the other thing, too, is, there obviously are more WrestleMania matches, a lot of more feuds. We're actually going to be discussing them on a special show that should be out this weekend, early this weekend, just in time for WrestleMania. So,
anyways, so we have, of course, SmackDown that we had next, and they had the 5-on-5 Money in the Ladder. Gosh, I can never get that right. Money in the Bank ladder match. Or it wasn't a ladder match. I'm sorry. It was just 5-on-5.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like, it was decent, but still, it's Money in the Bank. I like the point that they were trying to get across, but that's it.
Now, what was interesting, which this is actually jumping ahead a little bit to the WrestleMania special, they had, I believe it was Drew McIntyre, I believe it was him who pinned Christian.
Right.
And so it kind of makes you wonder, because the thing is with wrestling, you almost always know whenever they do something like that, Christian's going to win. So, you know, this is jumping ahead quite a bit, but and I'll re-talk about it. But it's just one of those, okay, well, Christian's going to win the Money in the Bank ladder match now. You know, thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, they had the women's match
again
on SmackDown. Five on one, you know.
We're still talking about it.
Now, Edge Jericho feud. Something that I've been thinking about is the past 4 weeks that they've been building this feud up. It's been the exact same segment for the past 4 weeks. Only one person wins and the other person loses, back and forth. I mean,
wait. So it's not. So they found a new word besides spear. I'm gonna spear.
You know, I have no idea what the point is with that. If they're trying to market it or what, but it just. Honestly, if Goldberg comes back to WWE, I want to see him spear Edge and then be like, that's a spear, you know? Or I want to see Rhino come out and gore Edge and be like, that's a spear, you know? So, but okay. I don't know. I mean, to be honest, SmackDown the past, like, 4 weeks has just been so underwhelming, like, grade-wise. I mean, this one, I'd probably say C-minus again, you know? I mean, lead into WrestleMania, it's weak. Weak sauce.
D-plus again, dude. I'm furious that they put out crappy shows right before the pay-per-view. The $65 that I spent on it. Yeah. It was $64.95. And the only way I can watch in HD is through DirecTV because Comcast hasn't started their thing yet.
That's lame. Very late.
Well, I can get the replay at 10 o'clock and get an HD and only spend, I think it's $54.95.
Ooh.
But then I got to wait the 4 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that. Anyways, NXT, I enjoy NXT still. It actually keeps going up. I don't like what they're doing with Daniel Bryanson because... Sorry, I can't believe you put that in the show notes. I actually screwed it up. What they're doing with Daniel Bryan is not right. They are actually just like making him dumb. It's like, okay, the guy was trained by Shawn Michaels through his wrestling school. He knows his stuff. He's a great wrestler, but yet, hey, how can we make him look crappy? Even though he is actually better than The Miz and he works harder than most of the wrestlers in the WWE. And he is awesome. That's it. He's awesome. Not The Miz. The Miz is awful. It's sad.
I'm not very happy with them burying Daniel Bryanson. And it really makes me wonder, like, what they're planning on doing. I mean, are they looking at making him this amazing superstar? Like, they're going to, you know, break him down only to build him up? Or are they just really looking at, like, proving a point? Like, who cares that you're big in the indie scene? Here, you're nothing. And then they're going to just make them nothing, you know?
I think that's what they're trying to do. I think what they're trying to do right now is grab certain wrestlers, put them in the spotlight in the WWE and say, listen, this is how you wrestle when you're in the pros. You're just in the amateur wrestling right now. You're nothing. You are nothing in the indie scene. This is where you make your money. Well, the first time he was in there, they basically did the same thing. And they're just taking this to the nth degree. And I wouldn't be surprised if he just kind of... I shouldn't say that. I'd be surprised if there's not something more behind the scenes. Like, they told him, like, this is what we're going to do for you. This is the long-term storyline. Mm-hmm. And if it's good, and there's a reason behind this, hey, you know, when it's all said and done, I will applaud the WWE if there was a true plan that's going to work.
And a lot of times they do have that. They have long-term plans. So, but the one thing I would say about NXT that I've been enjoying, in particular this week, they've actually had NXT versus NXT matches. And, you know, they haven't been doing that the past couple weeks. They've had, you know, the mentors thrown in there and everything like that, or a mentor versus an NXT rookie. And it's like, why do you need to do that, you know?
Well, I'm glad they're starting to do that, though, Aaron, because...
Oh, I am, too. I'm very glad.
Because now they're starting to wean the superstars away.
Yes.
And
yes.
Key on the NXT guys, which is what they should have done in the first place. But I understand why they did it. You got to have the ratings. You got to have people starting to get the hang of watching it. I do agree on that part of it. Now that they're doing, like you said, that just having the NXT versus NXT guys, that is the best thing they could have done. Great, great writing so far. And great matches getting put together.
Agreed. So, I mean, grade wise, you know, I'd give this probably a solid B, maybe B minus.
Yeah, I'd give it a B. Just a solid, straightforward B. I think the direction that they're going in right now is just unbelievable. It's just great. Just great. And you know what else is great? GoDaddy.com. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out and save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer 6 try. See? I know.
So, TNA, Bischoff versus Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley. What do you think of this feud that they're doing?
Well, I didn't realize Bischoff could play guitar. I was actually impressed with that. He's good on the axe. I'll give him credit. Stupid. I think that's been done before, actually. But not with the same people.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I like it because, like, Bischoff is – he's kind of trying to be a heel, but at the same time, he's a tweener. And so I don't know. I mean, it kind of interests me a little bit, but not to the extent that, like, let's say Stone Cold McMahon back in 97, you know? No. So – but other than that, you also had Hernandez and Matt Morgan. They had a feud. And, you know, they're tag team champions in TNA, but they have a feud where Matt Morgan basically he attacked Hernandez in the, you know, this in the ring, but he like just brutally attacked him. The refs throw up an X sign to get the ambulance, you know, get the
medical. That was stupid.
But it was scripted. That's the thing, you know. So it was interesting because, you know, they throw up the X, which means it's real. But this was scripted. They get the medical out there, and he is taking, I guess, 3 months off. So I don't know. Do you think that that feud came to an end early? I mean, you know, it seems like they should have had it go for another week or two at least, you know?
Well, the Blueprint knows what he's doing. But in this case, TNA doesn't know what they're doing.
I agree.
I think that was stupid. One thing I did like, one thing I didn't like, I should say, is who the heck is Rob Terry? Have I just not been watching TNA at all? I didn't know that he was the global champion.
The intercontinental champion of TNA, if you will. Yeah, you know, the thing is, he's really is a nobody. I mean, give that title to somebody who deserves it, you know? Give it to Christopher Daniels, you know? I mean, give it to, well, I guess Amazing Red is more of a, you know, X division guy anyway. Oh, yeah. So
definitely a big X.
But the thing is, though, give it to somebody who actually could be bumped up to the main event. I don't think that this Rob Terry, who I've seen him wrestle, I don't think is that good. So I don't know. But anyway, what do you think about Wolfpack Part 2?
Don't care.
Okay.
Stop caring.
Hardy and RVD.
Oh,
Hardy and RVD.
I'm honestly, dude, if Helms comes back to TNA... Have Helms, Moore, RVD, and Jeff Hardy start their own stable.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly agree.
Because, I know some people don't care. There's a lot of people who don't like Shannon Moore. Like in the pay-per-view, that was pointless for him to be in that match. And I agree with that 100%. But I think also he could have been in the match if they used it properly. Instead, it was a crappy one with a freaking brick. Stupid. But
yeah, I agree.
But Shannon Moore, I think... Because all those guys get along real well, especially Hardy and Moore. But if you bring Helms in as well, RVD, of course, is a kind of a party guy, if you know what I'm talking about. He's a certain type of party guy. And so is Helms. So you guys, the two partiers, and then you have the tattoo guy and the free spirit all in one car. That would be awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. Since it's TNA, on the airplane.
You know what, though, I must say about Hardy and RVD versus Beer Money, the thing I absolutely love, though, at the end, which you knew this was going to happen, it's like Bret Hart putting McMahon in the sharpshooter. You know it's going to happen, but once it happens, you're like, that was awesome. When Hardy hit the Swanton,
yep.
Or RVD hits Rolling Thunder, Hardy hits the Swanton, RVD hits the five-star, it was awesome. I'm sorry, it's like playing a wrestling game, you know, like when you're playing No Mercy for the 64 and then you hit a move and your friend hits a move. Yep. It was perfect.
Oh yeah,
it
dude. That was awesome when that happened. I was like, wow, this is something I wanted to see for a long time. and it finally happened. And the thing is also, when he did the frog splash, he, of course, can change in midair so he can land properly, which is awesome. And when he does that, I think it just makes it look even more brutal, especially if he just has to turn his body just a little bit. For some reason, it just looks like it's just more devastating, even though it's just a frog splash.
And the thing is, you know, like grade-wise, I really think the main event really pushed this, you know, up. I would give this a B-. You know, I think it was good, but there was stuff I didn't like, you know, so I'd say B-.
Okay, if it wasn't for the main event, I would have to give this a C-. Because of the main event, I have to give it a B. I'm sorry, a B-, at least, because that was one of the night, that was the best main event of the two shows, hands down.
Which brings us to our, you know, weekly WWE versus TNA. What are you going to watch? We have the opening segment, which is HBK coming out talking about The Undertaker, or Bischoff talking about, you know, Double J and Mick Foley. What are you going to watch?
Honestly, since I finally watched TNA tonight, I got to say, I would have watched TNA. Because Bischoff playing guitar in the ring, or HBK coming down and talking? I'm going to watch the guitar player, actually, this time. So I'm going to have to go to TNA.
I think that I would watch the guitar playing, just because that's a weird way to start. But I would have gone back to WWE. So I'd actually give this one to WWE.
Okay.
So what about the middle segments? We have Miz versus Morrison, or on WWE, or a six-tag women's match.
Miz Morrison. That was an awesome match.
Hands down.
Yep.
So... then what about the 3-on-2 with Legacy and Sheamus versus Triple H and Randy Orton? Or are you going to watch Mick Foley versus Double J?
Probably Mick Foley versus Double J.
I would watch the 3-on-2. So mm-hmm. I give this one to WWE. Main event. I think this is no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Cena Batista definitely. No, screw that. Hardy RVD. I mean, that's definitely it. And I'm sorry, but like TNA put out the better show this week. And I know that they're not really focusing on the ratings. They're focusing on the quality of the show. Realistically, that was the better show this week.
I agree with you. Even though I gave, you know, Raw like a C-, I don't think Raw was that far behind. It's just that we're seeing the same thing. And for the past 4 weeks, we've been seeing the same thing. It's the exact same segments. Just reordered. You know, we had Bret Hart and McMahon as the ending segment last week. This week, it was Cena Batista, you know? So it's, you know, it's not that WWE is bad. We're not saying that at all. It's just that it's kind of getting old, you know?
And frustrating.
That's my opinion. So yeah. Normally we have a weekly segment, but since it's WrestleMania, we're actually going to have a special show just for that. So,
yep.
So we're going to actually just end it right here.
Yeah, check back this weekend for the show. It's going to be an awesome show. We're going to talk about everything pretty much in depth, and we will go off as usual. So anyways, don't forget to check us out on Twitter, OffTheMark86, and we will tweet out as soon as that show is posted. It'll be sometime this weekend. We don't have a clear time yet, but it will be this weekend. Just enough time so you guys can listen to it. While playing, you know, No Mercy, if that's your thing, or playing Raw vs. SmackDown 2010, which is what I'll be doing. And, yeah, so you can listen to the show while that's going on. Aaron, thanks for coming on the show. And, actually, I want to say thank you for doing the show last week since I had tonsillitis and I really, really couldn't talk. But I can finally talk great today. I can tell you that now.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for coming on the show. If you want to see what Aaron's doing, you can check out him on the Twitter at APHughes. And if you want to see what I'm up to, Andrew, you can check it out, ahughes86 on the Twitter as well. And, of course, I want to say thanks to Section 86 for hosting the podcast and 86 Productions for the editing they do. And I want to thank all the listeners for taking the time to listen to our show. And until next time, we're tagging out.